Hebrews chapter 10 is a rich 9-10. Really, there's a few chapters there. Hebrews chapter 10, 9. Great stuff. Wendy, when you find what page number that is, holler it out, will you? So people looking for it can find it a little easier. 1815 in the Pew Bible. 1815 in the Pew Bible. This is great stuff. We're going to have to go through it on Wednesday night a little bit and dig a little bit deeper and let you ask questions. I really hope you take the time to read it this week. And if you don't have questions, man, you're pretty good. Because I read it and I studied it and I had some questions and I had to do some searching. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool though. This is pretty cool. So today we're gonna look at just kind of an overview, just hit it across the top a little bit. We're going to take communion. I think Jesus would want us to celebrate communion. I think he would want it to be a bit of a joyful thing. Hebrews chapter 10, let me read this portion of Scripture, and I'll show you a couple things and apply it, and we'll go from there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there's no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful passage of Scripture about Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our priest in heaven, who is there ministering and speaking on our behalf, who has forgiven us of all our sins. Lord, thank you for the beauty of your salvation. Lord, I ask you to give us clarity, help our minds and hearts to think through this. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's two things let me show you real quickly, and as you read them this week, you'll see the contrast this author is making. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 18, Mark has it on the screen, full verse right there. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. What are these? Well, it's right before that. "I'll remember your sins and lawless deeds no more." So where your sins and our lawless deeds have been forgiven, where there's forgiveness of these, there's no longer any offering for sin. So in Jesus, when he forgives our sins, there's nothing more we need to do. There is no more offering for sin. If you mess up, his blood, His cross is enough. We pray and we ask forgiveness. But there's no more offering for sin. So that's the beautiful thing of the cross right there. Where there is forgiveness, there is no longer any offering for sin. So the blood of Jesus is all we need. Nothing else. So adults, teens, youth, if you mess up, there's nothing more you need to do than go to the cross, go to Jesus, your priest, who's there waiting, and confess your sins, and he will forgive them. There's nothing more we can offer him. Not good works, not our, I'm going to go out and do this great deed to make up for that sin. Nothing you need to offer him. Jesus did it all. Jesus' blood did it all. Where there's forgiveness of these, there's no longer an offering for sin. Now, the contrasting part is in verse 26. Same chapter, verse 26. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. So there's the two verses that are like kind of bookends here. And the phrase in both of them, there's a phrase, right, next screen, there, but a fearful, next screen. Is there a text, there is no longer? Okay. So there is no longer, in verse 18, where it says there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. And in verse 26, if we go on sinning deliberately, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. There it is. There is no longer. So that little phrase is in both of these verses. So if you're forgiven, there's no longer needed any other offering. But if you hear about Jesus, the gospel truth, and you decide to just go on living your life and sinning deliberately, there's nothing else you can do. There's no longer a sacrifice for sins. There's nothing else. You have A or you have B. You receive the forgiveness, and there's nothing more you need to do, or you walk on past the forgiveness, and there's nothing more to do. There's nothing more you can do. There's no sacrifice, no other offering for sin. So if you walk past the cross and don't receive the cross, don't accept it, then there's nothing more you can do. Your good works, your good life, another God, another church, another whatever, there's nothing more you can do. There's A or there's B, okay? You see that? Those are the two bookends there. There's no longer any offering. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is our only hope. Jesus is our only hope. That's all we have. The Bible's very clear about that. I don't want to hide that from anybody. Jesus, the Bible, says he's the only way. He's the only way. So we are very narrow focused on Jesus. That's right. Now, that's a beautiful thing, though, isn't it? That where there's forgiveness, there's nothing else. I mean, you're forgiven. It's done. It's beautiful. It's over. But you don't go on sinning deliberately either. If you walk past it and go on. So those that say, well, if I accept Christ, then I can live any way I want? No, that's not what it says. If we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the truth. I've heard the truth. Okay, I like that. I go on sinning deliberately, it's done. There's nothing more you can do. There no longer remains a sacrifice to sin. The point is never to hear the gospel truth and to think you can live any way you want. You can just keep going. That's the point. So here's what I want. Here's some truth. And we have our teens in here today, so I wanna talk to you just for a minute. The gospel, Jesus, the Bible, clearly says Jesus is the only way. There are a lot of religions. There are a lot of other Hinduism, Islam. there's a lot of things, but we want you to know, youth, teens, as you think through the Bible, that it's very clear Jesus is the only way, and His cross will wash you of every sin. There's nothing more you need. Nothing more you need. He's the only way. If you choose to walk on by it and say, no, that's not for me, then it clearly says there's nothing else. And it says here, what waits for you is a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire. So heaven and hell. Those are true concepts. Those are true teachings in the Bible. We don't need to move past that. The Bible says what it says. It is that. So, A, receive the cross, receive Jesus, follow Jesus, live for Jesus. B, don't walk right on by it, live how you want, deliberately sin and live how you want. And there's heaven and there's hell. That's the truth. But isn't it good news? Isn't it good news that when you receive Christ, when you decide to follow Christ, the sin problem, the sin issue is completely and totally taken care of. Absolutely 100% taken care of. There's nothing more you need to do except just love Him. Just serve Him in love. Just say, thank you. I'm going to do this for you because that's a really good deal. I believe in you. I want to follow you. And so there's nothing more you need to do for your forgiveness, for your heaven journey, than to receive Jesus. And it quite clearly says that doesn't mean you get to live any way you want. That's the truth of the Bible. So for the youth, the teens that are here, I want you to understand these hard truths, because people will say, oh yeah, Jesus is the only way. Well, there's a lot of nice people out there. There's a lot of religions out there. There's a lot of things going on out there in the name of religion. No, our Bible does say that. It really does say that. But it says it'll completely wash you of your sin. You don't need anything else. He is faithful to us. He will forgive us of every single sin. He loves you that much. That's a really encouraging thing, and that's what we want to do. We want to encourage. Now, on the other side of that, somebody might say, well, is your God so mean that He sends people to hell? He's so loving that He doesn't want us to go to that fury of fire. He's so loving that He died on the cross for our sins so we don't have to. That's good news. Now, let me stop. Let me just say this. And you can ask, teens, you can ask any adult in this room, will this life bring us pain, suffering, or challenges? Okay, okay. So in this life, in this world, there is going to be some real challenges for you, some real hard things that you will experience. Really hard things. You might be living your life just doing the best you can, and this life will bring you some real hard challenges. So don't expect mom and dad to shelter you from any challenges or any hardship. So what they really need to do is to help you work through them. Right? Because they're going to happen. They probably happen to you now in school, in high school, middle school. You're probably faced with some challenges, with some hurt. So many parents just try and shelter their kids from any trouble, any challenge, any hurt. But what we really have to do, youth, and you ask mom and dad a lot of questions about this. When they come, we have to help you. How do you walk through them? How do you go through them? Because God is good, and He is going to love you and walk you through the challenges, not take you around them. Right? So on the very next page, and you don't have to turn there if you want, but listen to what it says on the very next page in Hebrews chapter 12. It says in verse 3, consider him, Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Jesus endured hostility against himself from sinful people. And we will too, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted in your struggle against sin. You have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, or my daughter, don't regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son or daughter whom he receives. It's for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons or daughters. Or what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you're left without discipline in which all have participated, then you're an illegitimate child and you're not sons. Besides this, we've had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and lived? For they, our earthly fathers, discipline us for a short time as it seems best to them, but he, God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. So, hard times, struggles, painful. It says that all discipline for the moment seems painful. So the parents are going to train, and this word discipline means like go to the gym. It's a Greek word, gymnasium. We get our word gymnasium. So our parents are going to train us to do things like God, and they're not always going to be fun. They're going to be challenging, and oftentimes, sometimes even painful, either emotionally, mentally, sometimes physically. It's like, get out here and help me shovel these rocks. Oh, my hands hurt. I got calluses. Man, this is no fun. Oh, Dad, do I have to? No, sometimes it's going to be painful, because discipline is painful. It hurts. It's not what we want to do. And so our earthly parents train us this way because it's like God. And when life brings us challenges, maybe you're at school and somebody really hurt your feelings, your girlfriend, your boyfriend broke up with you, called you a nerd, whatever, it hurts. And God says, I'll use that as training to grow you. It's training in righteousness and holiness. I can take your hurt and your pain. I will take your challenges that the world gives you, and I'll use it for your good. Satan thinks he will beat you up, but I will take it and use it for your growth. I will help you grow with that challenge. So, back to my point, parents, our biggest thing isn't to shelter them, keep them away from any challenge, pain, struggle. It's going to happen. Our biggest challenge is to help our kids go through, endure hostility like Christ. That's what we have to be doing, training them how to deal with the challenges, not sheltering them from whatever displeases them or challenges them or they don't like. So that's what we have to do, because that's reality. That's life, isn't it? Every adult in this room has experienced challenge, hardship, pain. Many of us have cried as grown adults. We have cried in pain. So they're going to go through that. These youth are going to go through some challenging times in their life, and parents, it's what we do to prepare them for that, to help them, so they don't wave their fist at God and say, why did you do this? Why did you let me go through this? So parents, we train them and discipline them in things. So it's not that big of a leap from that sheltered, perfect home where there's no challenge or hurt to now they're in life and all of a sudden there's hurt. And it's just like, what happened? I want to go back home and live in my parents' basement where there's nothing. So we have to train our children, our teens, our youth, to experience and endure this life and go to Jesus, who endured hostility himself for us. And he will give us the strength to overcome it, to beat it, to take that pain and actually use it for our training in righteousness and holiness and for his glory. Parents, that's your job. That's your job. It's not to give them everything they want. It's not to make them feel good 100% of the time. It's to train them to be good soldiers, to be strong, to endure this life that will throw dirt in your children's face. It's going to happen. You don't want them shaking their fist at God. You want them to see it and to go, wait, God will use this and train me and train my kids in holiness and righteousness. I want them to see this pain as conquerable, able to have victory over it, and it's going to be good for me. It's going to grow me. That's how we want our youth to see this, the struggle, the challenge. And every father does this to their kids. Every father trains their kids for this, or their illegitimate children, he says. So you'll do it, and it will be painful in some way, shape, or form. So they walk into this world knowing it's not a cakewalk. It's challenging. But greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Greater is Jesus in us than he who is in the world. We can defeat any problem, any challenge through Jesus, our high priest. So yes, there are two sides to Jesus. One, the greatest thing, where there is forgiveness of these sins, there's nothing more you need to do to have your sins forgiven. Just serve him with all your heart, with a full heart of love. If we walk on past the cross, there's nothing else we can do to get us to God. There is no plan B. So know there are two sides. One seems like it's a painful thing if we walk past the cross, and it is, because that's reality. That's the truth. So the scriptures say, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Jesus is faithful. Hold your belief in Jesus. Endure the challenges with Jesus. Whatever you're facing, adults face challenges and hurts every day. Kids face them at school, on the playground, in the neighborhood, somewhere. We're all going to face challenges. Hold your confession of hope without wavering. Jesus is faithful. And here's what we can all do. Verse 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Teenagers, you can do that. You can stir up one another, each other, in the youth group, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your family. You can stir up one another to love and good works. There you go. Put your hand on his shoulder. Give him a little pat. You're good, man. You could do this, Bowen. Yeah, love and good works, brother. There you go. He's on it. All right. So you can do this. Stir one another up. Encourage one another to keep going. Here, what's it say next? Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Is there anybody here who just, when you were a kid, you loved to go to church? You loved it when your mom, you did? Okay. I didn't. When I was a young kid and my mom would come in and shake me, hey, we're going to church today. I go, what? No, I'm sleeping. I'm tired. I want to go out and play football with my friends. Yeah. Not neglecting to meet together. Encourage one another. Hey, man, we need to go to church. Come on, get up. We're going to church. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Some routinely, habitually, right? As is the habit. Some just habit. They miss church whenever they want to. It's not a big deal. But that's not us. Encourage one another to love, to good works. Go to church. Encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. All the more encouraging one another. As it gets harder, as you get older, life may seem like it gets harder. Encourage one another more. Encourage your friends more. Encourage your brothers and sisters more as it gets older. As you see them going through a hard time, encourage them more to love and good works, to go to church, to meet together. Encourage each other more. We need to do that. As this life gets more challenging, adults, we need to do that. We need to really, really step up the encouragement. Some of you are facing surgeries in the near future. I know Paul is, Amy probably is, I would say maybe. So some of you are facing some real challenges that way. There are challenges in society, there are different challenges. We really need to encourage each other more as we see the day approaching. And the greatest encouragement of this is the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus hasn't let us down because life is getting harder or we're facing struggles. No, that is life. That really is life. Let's not pretend that it's not. If you never go to church a day in your life, you are going to still face pain and hardship. You're just going to have no idea why. You're just going to get bitter. But in Jesus, He takes that hardship, that challenge. And you've been trained by your dads. You've been trained by your parents. You've been trained by your mom. I know mom will train you, right? You training them? You training them? Yeah, you training them. She's cracking the whip. They're training them to endure. To endure. Things that may not be fun and comfortable for the moment, but they will bring about a life of righteousness and holiness. Jesus is good. Jesus is good. And we want you to stay with Jesus even when hardships and challenges come. We want you to stay close to Jesus. So we're going to take communion now. You got brother communion? Somebody serving with you? Let's take communion. And as we do, we'll kind of look at some of this. A little bit closer. We'll take communion because this is how much Jesus loves us, that He endured this hostility from sinners for us. He endured it. He was spit on, He was mocked, He was made fun of, He was whipped. And the Bible says that His body was the curtain that was tore. So therefore, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. His flesh was like a curtain that in heaven that was tore open. And now we get to go right to heaven and talk to Jesus, because Jesus' body was tore open like a curtain so that we could go right to God. We can go right to God. So He endured this. They thought they were defeating Him. They thought they were killing Him. And instead, it was victory. It was beautiful. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for facing this hard challenge, even death. And yet You're victorious. You came out on top and You suffered for us. because you love us. Lord, there's no challenge. There's no challenge for adults or teenagers. There is no challenge you can't defeat because of what you suffered on the cross. Thank you for opening the way to heaven. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this represents the body of Jesus. It represents someone who was whipped so bad that his skin was tore open. And he did it for us. He did it for us. They thought they were killing him and getting rid of him. And he knew he was going to rise from the dead. He was going to defeat this. But think about how bad this must have hurt. I mean, think about the pain he endured, the whipping, the actual tearing of his skin, the bleeding that he endured to open the way for us to come to him in heaven, to have every sin forgiven, every single sin. Your sins and lawless deeds I will never remember again, and there's nothing more you need. That's pretty encouraging. That is pretty amazing. Let's eat that. So our same passage in Hebrews chapter 10 says that we have confidence. And that word confidence is kind of a interesting word in a way. It means to be bold or frank, to speak out openly. So we have this type of just open boldness to just pray, to just go to heaven, to just go to Jesus there because of the blood of Jesus. It's a new and living way. It says we can draw near. We can draw near to Jesus with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. The blood of Jesus washes all our sins, our lawless deeds. They're forgiven. They're behind. Don't carry them with you. And our conscience. You ever feel guilty for doing something wrong? You ever feel like, oh man, I feel so bad, Mom. I feel so bad, Dad. I just feel bad. He washes that. He says, you don't have to. If you confess it, if you come to me, I'll wash the inside as well as the outside. That's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal. So the blood of Jesus, it gets away the guilt. And it helps us forgives us, gives us strength, gives us confidence. Although we sinned, we still have confidence to go to Him. He loves us. So that's the blood of Jesus. It is what completely, completely washes away our deeds and our sins. And it cleans our hearts, our conscience, our guilty conscience. Lord, thank You for this. Thank You for this blood. Lord, we sometimes try and do better to clean up our act. We sometimes try and be a better person. But inside, we still have a guilty conscience. We still remember. We still carry guilt. We still carry shame. But You have told us, let it go. Just let it go. Your blood washes that when we are completely forgiven. And there's nothing more we need to do. Nothing more needs done. This is enough. So, Lord, thank You. Help us to encourage one another with those words. In Jesus' name, amen. So, did y'all like that last song that the praise team sang, The New Wine? I yield to You and to Your careful hand. When I trust You, I don't need to understand. Make me Your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever You want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all You have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. We don't always understand the pain at the time, do we? The challenge. We plan a simple, easy course through life, and then we get kind of tripped up. That's life. That is just life. Things happen that we don't really plan on happening. But when I trust You, I don't always need to understand. I just know You are going to make it good. And parents, here's the challenge to you. So the verse reads, in the crushing, in the pressing, You are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, You are breaking new ground. You're breaking new ground. So when the Lord allows and decides it's time to make new wine out of you or out of your children, in the crushing, in the pressing, when it's a challenge and it's hard for them and they're crying and it hurts, and you know, all right, we got to go to Jesus. He's good. He loves us. And he's crushing and he's pressing us or our family or our kids. Are they prepared for that? Have you prepared them for that? Or have you sheltered them, put them in the ICU, just nothing else, no pain, nothing for you, baby. I just want all good. And here's the problem. He is going to crush and he is going to press. Every single one of us, he's going to crush and he's going to press. So we have to prepare them for that as a father would discipline his children for their good, preparing them for the crushing and the pressing of the Lord, to train them in righteousness and holiness. We sing that song, man, I absolutely love that song. We sing like, man, you're making new wine out of me. I'm a scoundrel. I need to be made new through the crushing and through the pressing. New wine. Encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, all the more as you see people being challenged, as you see our kids being challenged, encourage each other. Encourage each other to love. Just keep loving, doing good works. Go to church. Go to church where people love you and appreciate you. Appreciate your walk with Christ. You won't find complete forgiveness and love anywhere else but in Jesus. Let's drink. Lord, thank you for this beautiful passage of Scripture that we really just touched on. But man, is it beautiful what you've done for us. How much you love us. That even hurt and pain and challenge can't get the best of us, Lord. You've defeated it. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Wow, what a precious, precious verse. Lord, thank you for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mark 14, verse 32. Chapter 14, verse 32. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little further, he fell down on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to them, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." We're going to close with "In the Garden." Stand and worship with us, please. Thank you.
Wednesday night, all church group there, bring your questions, read it carefully. There's a lot more in there. Bring it. We'll talk about it, discuss it. Teens, something we heard today you're not sure about, put it on them, man. Put it on them. You'll have your youth group next Sunday morning. Ask them the hard questions. Get some good answers. Jesus is all you need to have your sins totally forgiven, your guilty heart washed. Whatever you've done, He's all you need. He'll get rid of it. But if you walk on by it, there's nothing you can do. And there's judgment day waiting. So that's the gospel. That's the truth. Lord, thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.